As I thought about what to preach this morning and asked the Lord, I kept getting a phrase from the book of James. So if you want to turn to the first chapter of the book of James, we'll eventually get there. Eventually. First chapter of the book of James. And we'll look at more than just this one phrase that the Lord gave me. But that's where he started me. Now, those of you here last week, you know that we talked about we need to live in faith, not in fear. In spite of what the media is telling you, the sky's not falling. But we also need to be sensible and do those things that are necessary. Now, if our son got in desperate need, I'd fly out to Oregon to see him, but I think we're going to postpone our trip till for a few weeks or a few months. And we've been talking about going. We hadn't seen those grandkids out there in about 4 or 5 years, so we've been thinking about going. But I think we probably won't fly this week unless something really strange comes up. And, you know, we're seeing all the news around, and what do you see? You see hazmat suits, and you see gloves, and you see masks, and you see people that even, you know, locally wearing masks, and we tease about shaking hands or bumping, or I said Wednesday night we'll just do the bowing thing to one another. And we do need to be careful. But the thing I want us to consider this morning is there's something worse than the flu or coronavirus. There's something more deadly. And that's sin. The Bible says what? In Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Sin is far more deadly. And if it's eternal death, it's far more long-lasting. Now, it's sad when somebody gets flu or cancer or some other, or corona virus or something else. It's sad. It's tragic. But far more tragic is the Christian covered with sin, or the person who dies in sin and goes to hell. The last phrase of the first chapter of James is what the Lord kept saying to me. We are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Last phrase of the first chapter of the book of James. We are to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now, notice something. He's writing to Christians. He's not writing to lost folks, unsaved folks. He's not writing to folks that don't know the name of Jesus. He's writing to Christians. Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You say, well, preacher, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. How does that apply to me? Maybe you are saved, on your way to heaven. I pray that most of us here are. I'd hope that all of us are. But you know, sometimes I wonder, are we a carrier? Do we help spread? The disease of sin. You think about it for a moment. Those that allow sin as believers, especially as believers, those that allow sin to permeate their life infect others. children, grandchildren, co-workers, schoolmates. We can infect others if we allow sin to permeate our life. You think about it for a moment, and I don't believe it's going to be this way, but can you imagine it's the end of the age, and here's a line going down this way, going to heaven. And here's a line going this way, going to hell. And we're passing one another as we make our journey. And it would break my heart if I was going down the line and somebody in the line going to hell said, "Ed, you're a preacher. I saw some things in your life. I heard you say some things that made me turn my back on Jesus. What if somebody said, you were my deacon. You were my Sunday school teacher. I worked beside of you for 40 years. James says, keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And he's serious. He's serious. Let me just give some illustrations that came to my mind. We talked with Brian and Sarah in Australia this week. And they told us about, in Australia, one of the major denominations that a few years ago was one of the most conservative denominations in all of Australia. Now with liberal practices, leading people astray. We know about a church where there was sexual misconduct among the leadership, the previous leadership, not the present leadership. And in the little town where they are, that church is just sort of a stench. Fortunately, they're in a rented building, so they're going to move, change the church name, and try to start over, praying that with a fresh start, they'll be able to reach that community for the Lord. When we were in Oklahoma, one of the most prominent churches averaged probably 6,000 on Sunday. Had a building that was unreal, beautiful, stood off, you know, up on a nice hill. Had a K through 12 school with about 1,200 kids. But through some misconduct and some other things that were sin, the school was canceled, done away with. The founding pastor, was getting up in years and began to be invited out to speak, and so he turned the church over to his son. They went from 6,000 to 250 because of sinful practices. And when we were there in January, we went by a place that was close to where we used to live, and they were remodeling a storefront. We said, we asked some people, what's going in there? And they said, the remnants of that church. The big building's been sold and everything else is gone. Sin. How many people have been turned away because of sin? James says that we as believers ought to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now let's go back and really look at a lot of the verses that come before this and see how this all fits together. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Need to watch your mouth, watch your anger. Watch our mouth and watch our anger. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It says, put apart filthiness and sinful lifestyle, immorality. Put it away from us. Don't have any part with it. Remember again, he's writing to believers. He's not writing to lost folks. He says, put this away. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of his work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. He says, not only hear the word of God, but do it. Now, you folks have been very kind to compliment me many Sundays on what I've preached. But did you go home and do it? Huh? Now, if I didn't tell you what the Bible says, you have no responsibility. But if I explained to you plainly the word of God and you heard it, you have a responsibility to go home and do it. This afternoon and tomorrow and the next day and the week after that and the week after that. James says, don't just listen, do. So it doesn't do us any good to listen and hear if we don't do. We need to do as well as hear. And then he goes on to say, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Whoops. He says your religion is empty, worthless, useless, if it can't at least control your tongue. What kind of words come out of our mouths? Sweet words? Ugly words? Hateful words? Now, I know sometimes our excuse is, I just can't help myself. You know, I got a religious word for that. Baloney. We think we can't help ourselves. And I've been there. I've said the same thing. But I guarantee you, if I was fussing at my wife real strong and a policeman walked up, she'd suddenly become honey. Sweetheart, darling, I wouldn't be saying anything ugly to her with policemen listening. Would you? If Charles Stanley or some pastor that you thought very highly of walked up, we'd suddenly change the way we talked. It's amazing how sometimes, maybe nobody here at Barber's Grove's this way, but we're on the way to church, and it's yeah, yeah, yeah at each other and the kids. And we get out and, hey, brother, glad to see you, brother. You know, all of a sudden it's sweetness and light. We control our tongues if we want to control our tongues. You know, sometimes you read the Bible and it just goes over your head and you don't get it. And sometimes we read the Bible and we say, yes, but. Don't do that. I'm reminded of something, and you think about this and think real, real careful. You think about all the prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah prayed and it didn't rain. 3.5 years later, he prayed and it rained. Raised the dead. Took his cloak and hit the Jordan River and parted it. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You think about Daniel in the lion's den. Pretty powerful. You think about Isaiah and that experience he had with God high and lifted up. And Jeremiah. And all of those Old Testament prophets. The mighty power displayed in their lives. Then when you turn over to the book of Luke, you find Jesus making this statement. There's no man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus just put the stamp of approval on John the Baptist and said John was greater than any of those Old Testament prophets. Right? And then you remember what Jesus said next? He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. You think about the implications of that. The last person I just baptized that accepted Jesus has more anointing than John the Baptist or any Old Testament prophet. Think about that for a few moments. If the least in the kingdom of God has more anointing than John the Baptist or any of the Old Testament prophets, we ought to be walking in great anointing, great power, great purity, and great holiness. Now, I didn't say that. Go look it up for yourself. Jesus is the one that said it. We need to be, as believers, not only keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, we need to be radiating Jesus. Wherever we are. You know, if I filled a bathtub up full of cologne and took a little bath in it this morning, when I drove by Kenny and Rita's, they'd have said, "We smell something." When I got out of my truck out here, somebody said, "What's going on?" You know, there's people that they walk in the room and you think, oh man, what's that perfume that they've got on? Do we smell like Jesus? Do we smell like Jesus? In the book of Acts, it says they took notice that they had been with Jesus. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. There was something so marvelous about their lives that it was obvious this is the crowd that spent time with Jesus. And the scripture also says, as he is in the world, so are we. We are to be like Jesus. We're not going to be Jesus. We're not going to die for the world, but we ought to live like Jesus in the world. I'm going to try to do something. You know, I got this new phone. I'm going to take your pick. No. This phone has a lot of different translations on it. And I want to read you this passage from the Passion Translation. And I want to read the verse that I haven't looked at yet. Verse 18. And then I'm going to read the rest of it. Verse 18 says, God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of His infallible word, so that we would fulfill His chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all His creation. Isn't that amazing? God was delighted to save us. You and me, by the truth of His infallible word, so we would fulfill His chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of His creation. God chose you and He chose me. And He saved us that we might be His favorites. Let me go ahead and read the rest of the passage. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. Be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous cause. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit, we absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. God's word has the power to continually deliver us. Don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let this word become like poetry, written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine origin. So you go out and forget who you are in Christ. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear, and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. If someone believes they have a relationship with God, but fails to guard His word when his heart is drifting away and his religion is shallow and empty, true spirituality that is pure in the eyes of our Father God is to make a difference in the lives of the orphans and the widows in their trouble, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. Awesome. And of course, we showed you the video about the children's home and all kinds of ways that we need to minister. What did Jesus say when He was asked the greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart. And if you love God with all your heart, you're going to try to live a pure and a holy life. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. You're going to minister to those around you that are hurting. Be serious. Don't allow the pollution of sin. If we as Christians could be as serious about the pollution of sin in our lives. I told you, I don't know what to do with this thing. The other day when I wanted Siri to tell me something, I couldn't find her. She's gone on break or something. But you know, it's so important that we live a godly life. So important. What did we hear as kids and as we grew up? You are the only Bible that somebody's reading. There are people that will never pick this up and read it. They won't listen to preaching and teaching on TV or on the radio. But they're looking at my life and they're looking at yours. And we can lead them to Jesus, push them away by the life that we live. For some reason, the Lord just kept giving me this phrase, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Might have been for me, might have been for somebody here, might have been for all of us. But it's so important, so important. The kind of life we live. And remember again, he's not talking to lost people. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to you and me. Father, may we hear, have ears to hear, and a heart to do that which you have spoken to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. As we have the invitation hymn, if you would you come? If you need to come and rededicate your life, come in some other way, we welcome you to come.